The show's live and local. It's your connection to local music and more. I'm Kevin Kelly. First on the show, we have some actors from the Red Mask Players production of The Mystery Called Laura. It was a 1944 Jean Tierney film of the same title, noir mystery and a love story as well. And Red Mask Players are based in Danville. Their show opens tomorrow and continues through the 29th of this month. And then in the second portion of the show, we'll be hearing live in our studio singer-songwriter Ben Bedford, who's in Springfield, from Springfield. And he, with fellow Springfielder Tom Irwin, are going to be performing at the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center Saturday night here in downtown Urbana. It's live and local. Hope you'll stay with us. We just heard some music by a Chicago bassist who is also on the faculty at the University of Illinois, Larry Gray, from his disc called 1-2-3 with John Mulder and Charles Heath. John Mulder, the electric and acoustic guitarist, and Charles Heath the fourth on drums. The tune was called Reflect and heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. We have with us on this portion of the show three members of the cast of the murder mystery, Laura, which is being put on by the Red Mask Players in Danville. It starts Friday with performances this weekend, Friday and Saturday at 8, Sunday afternoon at 2. And then similar situation next weekend, the 21st to the 23rd. And then the show wraps up on the 28th, which is a Friday at 8, and the 29th, which is a Saturday, also at 8 o'clock. No Sunday performance on that final weekend. And if I have everybody's names right here, Jeff Romig is with us.
Jeff Miller, actually.
Oh, there's two Jeff Millers. Oh, there we go. Who's going to be playing the role of Danny Dorgan.
Yep.
And there's only one Jamie that I can see here. So Jamie DeVore.
That's me.
In the role of a girl, Laura Hunt, it says.
That's me.
And then our fourth person just walked in, and you're Gay Garner?
Gay Garner.
Gay Garner in the role of Bessie Clary. First of all, thank you all very much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks.
Who is best to talk a little bit about the Red Mask Players?
You've been around the longest.
And you know what struck me last night? The one thing I wanted to say about the organization is we're 75 years old next year.
We are.
Next year, that's
amazing.
Incredible.
Yeah, start the 75th anniversary.
For a community theater company. Did I read somewhere that you are one of the oldest community theater companies, at least in Illinois?
I believe we're the third oldest, maybe.
I think that's
but
right.
But we're one of the oldest, yes.
Well, either way, 75 years is a long time. And, Gay, how many of those years have you been with the company in one capacity or another?
1983.
Well, and have you always been an actor? Have you been backstage? What all have you done for the
Yes. I've done a little bit of everything. That's what's so neat. Most people are involved backstage and on stage. Jamie's a board member. I've been a board member. It's a great way to get involved in the community and a great creative outlet. I can't think of more fun.
Yeah.
But I've done things on stage a long time. I've directed, stage managed. You've directed.
I've directed. My first time directing was last season.
And what was that show?
It was called The Replacement.
Yeah, we didn't have anybody on for that, I don't think.
No, we didn't have anyone that could make it over here, make the trek from Danville. So.
Yeah, well, that's a trick about doing live radio, particularly in the middle of the day. You don't need to be able to get off work to do it, assuming you work. And some people don't, which makes it easy on us over here, but tough for you all. What can you tell me about the play, Laura?
Laura's a murder mystery. It opens in Laura's apartment with the detective, Mark McPherson, who is played by Jim Crane, And he has spent several days in her apartment trying to get a feel for her and who might have killed her. So several characters enter. There's Danny, which is played by Jeff here. And he lives downstairs. And he spends some time with Laura. He likes listening to her records. So he enters, and then you find out that Laura has a fiancé. His name is Shelby Carpenter, and he's played by Jeff Romig. And he shows up wanting to take some inventory of the items in the apartment. And then you also meet Waldo. I'm not sure if Waldo has a last name.
Lidecker.
It's Lidecker. And that's played by my husband, Ed DeVore. And he is an older gentleman that is one of Laura's very good friends. So they're all kind of gathering in her apartment for different reasons.
She considers most of them to be good friends, but I don't know if they all consider themselves to be that way as well. So they've all got kind of a different perspective of what their relationship consists of when it comes to how they know Laura and how they're involved with her life. So makes it really interesting.
Well, and somebody killed her.
Somebody killed
her. Presumably somebody on, you know, in the show. That's usually how those things work.
That's
so.
Right.
There's no sequel as far as I know, so you'll find out by the end. So.
And Bessie, played by Gay here, is the maid. Yep.
And what is the maid's role? What's the maid's connection without giving too much away?
I prefer to think of it as comic relief.
It's true.
There is so much angst and tension and things going on between all of the characters. My character really is just very literal and very direct, very simple. Not simple-minded, I would prefer not to think, but simple and direct. And so she just comes in and deals with everybody just sort of as they are and creates a little bit of fun sometimes.
And Jamie, you play a dead girl.
I do.
Can we ask how that happens?
Well, now that's an interesting question.
Do you actually have anything to do as a dead person?
without giving too much away, I assist the detective in helping solve the murder.
All right, then. And I see that you do have your script in hand, which means you must be reading something with us or going to do something in a scene or two that we have prepared. Will you be in the role of Laura? Or are you reading somebody else's part?
I will be reading a female part. We'll put it that way.
All right. So we can't know more. Is there any setup that we should have leading up to this particular scene?
What setup?
Well, Laura is back now, and we know she's alive. And she's been resting for a little bit, and this is when she gets up and she and Bessie talk for a little bit.
Well, there you have it. I was trying to be vague, but there you have it.
And I come up in a little bit later in the scene, and I've recently done something to get myself into trouble, and I'm kind of coming in apologetically to see Laura and visit with Bessie, too, a little bit. So, yeah.
Okay. Is everyone ready?
Yep.
All right. Hello, Bessie.
Oh, you're up. My.
Why'd you let me sleep so long? Is there any coffee? I'm still unconscious.
You don't look it. Dinner's been ready for an hour, but you were sleeping so good I just hated to wake you. Wouldn't you rather start with the soup instead?
I don't think I'm up to dinner. Just give me some black coffee.
It's awful good. Nothing like a plate of soup to give you strength.
Coffee, Bessie?
All right. But you'll spoil your dinner. Oh, that Mr. McPherson called.
What did he want?
He called twice. But he said not to disturb you if you was sleeping.
Is that other detective still down there?
The red-faced one left at 6. The Swede's back again.
Thanks.
You know, I think he likes you.
Who, the Swede?
No, that Mr. McPherson. He liked your looks even when you was dead. You was always looking at your picture. You still thinking of marrying Mr. Carpenter?
I don't know.
I like him better.
Who, Mr. Carpenter?
Mr. McPherson. He's a man. Now, take Mr. Lidecker. Sherry and a cream sauce. Nothing but an old maid. Mr. Carpenter's all right, but when you come right down to it, what is he but a big overgrown baby?
Madam, I left home because my mother talked to me like that.
She's probably looking down and shaking her head over you now, God rest her soul.
What's that?
Some of the stuff I took out yesterday when Mr. Carpenter and me was going over the effects. A beautiful thing, this shawl.
I thought I got rid of it years ago.
Seems a shame to keep it hid away in a closet.
I hate the thing. If you want it, you can have it.
Thanks.
Ding dong.
Maybe it's him. Oh, it's you.
I'm only going to stay a minute. I came to bring you something. Guess what?
Do I have to?
Jelly Roll Morton, the one I broke.
Where'd you get it?
New place. Mr. McPherson told me about it. You know he's a hot fan.
Everybody's got some faults.
I don't feel so bad about breaking the other one now. Must have gone through about 1,000 records before I found it.
Thanks, Danny. How much was it?
Oh, it's on me. Like to hear it?
Well, I...
Just this once.
All right.
Billy Cato on the slip horn. Like it?
Solid. Danny, how'd you like your pick of my hot records?
What for?
I meant what I said this morning.
Oh, that won't happen again, Laura. I promise. I just lost my head. I didn't know what I was doing.
I still think it would be better.
Why?
Well, for one thing, because of your mother. And for another, you're much too serious about it.
Just to come up here? Just to listen to your records? You said you enjoyed talking to me about music. That's all I'm asking. Why can't it be the same as it was before?
No, Danny.
Okay. Only don't try to brush me off with any records. I don't want your records.
Don't you see, Danny? This is just what I mean.
No, I don't see. But if that's what you want, I suppose I've got to take it. Ding dong. Well, I'm sorry I bothered you.
Now what? Oh, it's you.
That's all we can give you for now.
And we have to guess who it's you in this case. So what point of the play does this scene happen?
That's the beginning of Act 3.
That's the and there are three acts?
There are three acts, yes.
So if that's the beginning, then obviously whatever it is we may have just given away obviously doesn't give everything away.
It does not, no.
which is very nice. We're talking here on this portion of Live and Local with Jeffrey Miller, who played the role of Danny Dorgan in that scene and does so, of course, in the play. Gay Garner in the role of the maid Bessie Clary, and Jamie DeVore as Laura Hunt in The Mystery Called Laura. And it says in your in the information I have in front of me here that this was a famous film of the same name from 1944, which I haven't seen. Have you all seen this film?
I have not seen it.
No.
And I don't. If I would have seen it in the past, it would have been fine. But once I'm cast in a role, if there's a movie, I don't like to watch it because it'll affect my performance. So I'm looking forward to the run of the show ending so I can actually watch the movie and see.
Yeah, I imagine. But Gay, you're nodding that you've seen this.
I have seen it. Okay. Dana Andrews, Gene Tierney, Vincent Price, Clifton Webb. I don't know what year it was,
1944. 1944.
That's what year it was made?
I believe so.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so Vincent Price, was he a bad guy?
No.
Really, Vincent Price? I always think of as a bad guy.
He played the detective, didn't he? Is that right?
No, Dana Andrews was the detective.
Oh.
Clifton Webb was Waldo Lidecker.
Okay.
He was Shelby Carpenter. Vincent Price was Shelby Carpenter.
Okay. Laura's fiancé.
And for somebody who may have seen the film, can they expect a very similar story in the play, or are there, because often those things aren't quite the same.
Similar, but there are definitely differences. I would say mostly with Danny and his mother and my character. Really, it's just a bit different. In fact, Mrs. Dorgan is not in the movie.
Yeah, that's one. I think there were two cast members we didn't mention earlier. Mrs. Dorgan, Danny's mother, mm-hmm. Who also lives in the apartment complex. That's played by Allison Jordan. And then there's a cop.
Oh yeah,
Olson.
Yeah.
Olson, yes.
Olson's played by Mark Wolfe. Yeah. So that rounds out the cast.
Mm-hmm. So what are particular? I often like to ask about particular challenges for a given role. And let's just stick with the title role, Laura. What do you find?
Doing a period piece is always a challenge because you have to as an actor, sometimes you have a tendency to substitute words you don't mean to, but it does happen. So you have to be careful not to use, certain jargon that's more current than in the 40s. So you have to be careful about that sort of thing. And then, of course, mannerisms and costumes and hair and everything. I think that's always the biggest challenge in a period piece.
So obviously you're not trying to do an updated version of this. So period piece is what period?
The 40s.
Oh, it is based in the 40s. Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's when the show, when the play was written?
I'm not sure when it was written. It could look right on the inside cover.
Copyright?
Copyright 1942, so yeah. Yes, yeah. That would be right.
There we go. By Vera Kaspari, is that how she's, any idea if that's how she says her name? And George Sklar, based on the novel by Vera Kaspari.
Sure.
It says all. Take my word for it, right? I'm just reading my script here. And so it's the show called Laura. And now sometimes murder mysteries are interactive. This is not one of those, though, right, with the audience?
No, it is not.
It's just there's no variables to it. It's not a murder mystery dinner production. It's just a play. And it opens tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Red Mask Players, Danville, where do you guys perform?
Catherine Randolph Theater.
Mm-hmm. On Vermilion.
It's a converted. It's 601, isn't it?
Yes.
So,
it is 601.
601 North Vermilion. We have a website here. It's redmaskplayers.com for all the information you could ever want on the whole season, how to get tickets, where to make reservations, where everything is. And you can even look and see what seats you might like to have. And the phone number is area 217-442-5858. And Friday and Saturday shows are at 8 o'clock. Sunday matinee is at 2 o'clock. And the show wraps up on Saturday the 29th. Appreciate you all coming in today. Jeff Miller and Jamie DeVore and Gay Garner, all members of the, 8-person cast? 9-person cast?
That sounds right. I didn't.
Nine, I think, maybe. Nine? Yeah, I could be wrong.
I'm just counting real quick.
5 men and 3
women. Oh, it says. Okay. That's right. There are roles for 5 men and 3 women. And who is your director?
Bevnies,
and I think that's who we heard about it from first. Thanks very much for joining us on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
And next up on Live and Local is singer-songwriter Ben Bedford, who is going to be participating in a program on Saturday night at the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center, located in Urbana, along with singer-songwriter Tom Irwin. Ben's going to be singing and playing for us live on this second portion of the show. Our broadcast today is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, preserving our nation's music heritage at the University of Illinois, now featuring the exhibit Sousa and His League of Players, America's Music and the Golden Age of Baseball from the Smithsonian Institution. More information is at SousaArchives.org. And if one of the folks in the sound studio will come grab for me a particular CD, you can have some music to listen to as we get Ben set up. And it's going to be from Kevin Hart's group. And you can pick any track you like there, Kyle. And at 101 today, we'll be hearing, as always, the Writer's Almanac, if you are sticking around on our frequency 90.9 FM. And then we'll have classical music for you on 101.1 FM. And folks in Danville will hear the Writer's Almanac at 106.5. It's Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. This is FM 90.9. Thank you. We heard Kevin Hart and Colleagues. Kevin Hart on vibes and drummer Jeff Magby with bassist Tim Brickner, guitarist Mike Nellis, hoping I said his name right, pianist Don Heitler. The Road to Everywhere, Kevin Hart's composition from the disc called The Road to Everywhere, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Kevin Hart is based in Bloomington Normal, I believe, and also comes to Champaign-Urbana fairly often and may well come to your community now and then. A fellow who is going to be coming to Urbana Saturday, or coming back to Urbana since he's sitting here right now, is Ben Bedford. He's in Springfield, and he will be appearing along with fellow singer-songwriter Tom Irwin at the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center, which is in the old post office attached to Lincoln Square in downtown Urbana, on Saturday night. Show starts at 7:30 and scheduled to go till 10:30. Whether it'll actually go that long, who knows? But Ben and Tom will be performing, both of them, on that show. And we've got Ben with us live in our studio. And thank you for coming over on pretty short notice, actually.
Well, thanks for having me, Kevin.
I know you contacted me while I was on vacation, and then we finally connected, and I'm glad we were able to get you here, and we get to hear some of your music. I'm reading from your own biography, whether this came off of what you provided. I presume it did. It says that you deliver intriguing sketches of America, its individuals, their victories, and their struggles.
Sure.
Is that something that you deliberately, that you've been very conscious of doing, or that you've just observed as you've looked at your body of songs?
A little bit of both, probably. I love the story of the everyman, I guess. But it's also sort of a hindsight perspective, I guess you could say, on what I've written thus far. Just happens to sort of fit that category, I guess you could say.
Well, before we talk much about it, well, we might as well just get an initial sample of at least what one
sure.
song sounds like.
So. Sure. This is called The Sangamon, and it's on my new record called Land of the Shadows, and I guess it's got some local flavor of its own. So,
Ben Bedford here on Live and Local.
Down to the river, I'm throwing it all away. Your dresses, your letters, your ribbons, golden ring, the wildflowers you pressed between the leaves of the pages. Down the Sangamon, they're floating away. The stones cross the river, cut with familiar names. And I wake in the darkness, the starlight, in troubled dreams. That old fallen oak where I cradled your darling head. Just the Sangamon heard all we said. And this town no longer calls me. It holds no breath for me. One day I'll fly, one day I'll run, one day I'll cross the Sangamon. Sundown at harvest, I listened
heard your call. I can still see you laughing how you leaned against the cabin wall and guided my hand o'er the swelling of life inside. On the Sangamon, with love in your eyes. And this town no longer calls me. It holds no breath for me. One day I'll fly, one day I'll run, one day I'll cross the Sangamon. Doctor was nervous with sweat running down his nose, and he rattled off orders, but my hands were numb and cold. And 3 hours in, there was nothing that he could do. On the Sangamon, with nothing to lose. And this town no longer calls me. It holds no breath for me. One day I'll fly, one day I'll run, one day I'll cross the Sangamon.
Ben Bedford, live on our in our studio here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Thanks very much. Beautiful song.
Oh, thank you.
I'm looking at this rather startling piece of information from Rich Warren, who hosts a show that runs on our station. The Midnight Special comes out of WFMT in Chicago, and he actually lives in our community, in our listening area here, and he apparently, last year, put together what he called the 50 most significant folk singer-songwriters of the past 50 years, among them Bob Dylan, Judy Collins, John Prine, no surprise, but also Ben Bedford.
Maybe a surprise.
Well, I mean, if you hadn't heard of Ben Bedford, and apparently you've only been doing this thing at least full-time
for 5 or 6 years, yeah.
Yeah, for a short period of time. How does it feel to be in company like that? And I should really ask Rich this question, but he's not here, so
sure.
I'll ask you. How do you think you ended up on that list?
I met Rich the first time about 3 or 4 years ago at a thing called FARM, Folk Alliance Region Midwest. Folk Alliance is a big organization in the United States. Based in Memphis, actually, but they have regional satellite conferences every fall. And he goes to that most every year, I do believe. And I had gone to it, like I said, 3 or 4 years ago, met him there, handed him a copy of my CD that was the new CD at the time called Lincoln's Man. And I guess he liked it.
Apparently.
Rich has been a really great supporter of me and my music in the past several years. And
did you slip a whole bunch of money into that CD?
There was a significant amount missing from my bank account after that, but I didn't really put the two together.
maybe just by not saying anything.
I think he saw me perform at the national conference several months after that, and ended up booking me for his folk stage program on WFMT up in Chicago, and
has become a fan.
Yeah, which is really cool. So
I mean, that's got to be a great honor. And here's
truly
this
honored,
must be
yeah.
an even greater honor, Ben. That
okay.
I see here that your music has been played on National Public Radio's Car Talk.
Yeah, that's true.
Does that mean you've got a car song or two in your repertoire?
I've got a song called Dark Highway, which apparently they take clips of songs having to do with the road or cars or whatever, and play snippets of those songs in between, you know, commercial breaks or whatever. And that song happened to land on their desk, and I guess they decided it fit perfectly into the show they were doing. And yeah, so that's pretty cool.
It says something about cars. You know, I actually have always wondered that. I listen to that show every once in a while. We do air it on our companion station, AM 580. And I always wonder, are these real songs or are these songs that somebody made up just for Car Talk? And I guess at least in one instance,
it's a real song. So
it's a real song.
Yeah.
Is that one you're still carrying in your bag of tricks? Or
well, I
not really. So
quite
much?
Honestly, I have not played that one in quite a while. It's funny how songs end up sort of, sticking around for a while and then. Maybe being rediscovered later, but it's one of the ones that's sort of in the dark at the moment, I guess you could say.
You want to bring it back to the light, or do you want us to want to sing us another song?
It might just be dark if I try to bring okay. it back to.
Well, let's hear another song.
Okay, sure.
Obviously, your choice.
Okay, sure. I'll play a new tune. This one's called. Actually, it doesn't have a name yet. Not one that I've settled upon, anyway. But
so this is obviously not on your most recent CD, Land of the Shadows.
This is not. It is not on the most recent CD. I've got about five or six tunes toward a new album, and I'm kind of hoping to start recording later this year. So this will end up on that whenever that does happen. So. Fallen angel sings the sweetest song. Fallen angel sings the sweetest song. It dances across the sand in the saffron light of dawn. And this desert's made of bleach and bone and sin. And this desert's made of bleach and bone and sin. Voice out in the wilderness, swept away by the wind. 40 days and nights out on the mountainside, and not a single drop of mercy from the cloudless sky. And not a solitary rock, a shelter for to rest my weary bones. 40 days of watching buzzards cross the sky. 40 nights of listening to my mama cry. Oh, mama, how much longer do I have to be alone? My mother prays and my father's bent with age. My mother prays and my father's bent with age. Why wage a phantom war? Why climb a hill? I know will cause them pain. This desert sun is burning in my soul. This desert sun is burning in my soul. What I'm searching for, I might never find. I know there'll be no angels from the heavens with their ivory wings, no bowing to a shadow on the open plains, and no bread to cure this hunger lost out in a land of dust and stone.
40 days of watching buzzards cross the sky, and the image of my mama when I said goodbye. Oh, mama, how much longer do I have to be alone? Fallen angel sings the sweetest song. A fallen angel sings the sweetest song. It dances across the sand in the saffron light of dawn.
Ben Bedford here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our program is made possible with support from the Eastern Rug Gallery, offering over 1,000 contemporary and traditional guaranteed hand-knotted rugs made of pure wool or silk pile from contemporary to traditional. Eastern Rug Gallery also offers a cleaning and repair service. Eastern Rug Gallery, 1402 South Neal Street in Champaign. Ben Bedford will be with Tom Irwin in Night of Original Tunes, it's called, at the Independent Media Center in downtown Urbana, Saturday night at 7:30, both of them from Springfield. And pleased to have Ben on the show today, coming over for a short stint compared to the three-hour show that you can get on Saturday. How much does that song and other songs come from your own personal experience, either from your own life or from just touring around and seeing people, sure, and places and things?
That's a good question. A lot of the songs I write seemingly have no attachment whatsoever to me.
Seemingly.
Yeah, I say that just because I'm not really even sure exactly where I come into some of the songs from my own personal experience. Obviously, the first song, The Sangamon, is about a man who loses his wife and child in childbirth. I guess probably somewhere in the mid-1800s. Obviously, that's not ever happened to me, thankfully. And that last song, actually, I sort of lifted the story from the 40 days and nights of the temptation of Christ in the desert. Obviously, I'm also not Jesus, so...
Really?
Yeah, surprisingly, I know.
Yeah, I was counting on making a big announcement.
I kind of look like Jesus. Nobody can see me out there right now, but no. But I think, this is kind of cliche, but I think every artist infuses their own experience into their artwork, even when they don't necessarily know where or how they're infusing it. I don't know. I love, for instance, I love history. I love stories of people. I've heard lots of stories from lots of people over the past few years, playing a lot of cool places and talking to a lot of interesting, cool people. And I think some of those details definitely get into songs.
Well, how do you pick a topic? I mean, what made you decide to talk about to write and sing about the topic of the first song? You know, these folks had lost their kids probably way back when. And
sure. Well, that one was almost directly inspired by a visit over to New Salem, Illinois, which I'm sure many of the listeners are familiar with, but small pioneering village on the Sangamon River, northwest of Springfield, near Petersburg, Illinois, where Abraham Lincoln lived for several years before entering politics. As a young man, I think he moved there when he was around 20 years old. And the Civilian Conservation Corps rebuilt the houses on the original foundations, and you can go out and walk around, and sort of a living history sort of place. And I'd gone out there one afternoon and with the intention, actually, of writing a song based on something I would maybe glean from the experience. I'd been to New Salem, you know, probably 100 times in my life. I used to go there with my parents when I was little. But with the specific intention of getting something that I could write about. And death and childbirth just seemed appropriate, I guess you could say, for the place and the time.
It would have happened a lot.
Yeah, certainly.
Back then, fortunately, not so much now. Well, how often do things go in that order, where you have an idea and you go to either a location, let's say, and say, I think I want to write a song about this place, or so you go there and say to pick up, you know, it's like somebody who's writing a book goes to some location to gather background, or how often does it happen the other way? Because that was gonna be my assumption, where you went to New Salem and not with that intention, but something there inspired you unintentionally.
Sure. Yeah, with that trip, it was nothing specifically really inspired me. It was more sort of a holistic feel of the place, I guess.
Well, but I mean, you said you went intending to write a song.
Yes, absolutely.
Whereas I would have thought it would be more common for you to go not intending to write a song, and you came out and said, oh, I have to write a song.
Right.
Do both things happen?
Yeah. Or? Oh, certainly. I would say, as far as your first question of how often do I go somewhere with the intention of writing a song or doing research or whatever for a song, for me, it doesn't necessarily happen very often in terms of going to the place. I do a lot of research for a lot of the songs that I write, the ones that have historical context. But I would say it happens frequently where I'm just inspired to write a song and I write one. For instance, the title track to my new album, Land of the Shadows, is about the murder of Emmett Till in 1955. And that, I was just inspired to write a song about Emmett Till and the events surrounding his murder. But it happened in sort of a roundabout way. My wife and I had watched a documentary on Emmett Till, and the inspiration for writing the song came about 8 or 9 months later. So it wasn't even like I watched the documentary, I'm inspired to write a song, and I go and write it. It sort of simmered for almost a year before I sat down and actually wrote something. And inspiration is a strange thing. I don't know how it works exactly. But
so maybe on your next or even your third album from now, you could end up with a song inspired by the blissful surroundings here in Studio F at WILL.
It's possible. 9 months from now, I could be sitting in the kitchen and saying to myself, wow, the beige of the walls was...
That's the title of your song. Is beige, or walls of beige. That sounds more folky, right?
Sounds terribly exciting.
Yeah, walls of beige. All right. Well, we better have a more exciting song than that. What do you have next for us?
Here's a historically inspired song. Offhand, I can't remember exactly what inspired it, but the song's about Amelia Earhart's 1932 flight across the Atlantic. So I'll just leave it with that. It's called Amelia. This is on the album Land of the Shadows. Harbor Grace, Newfoundland, the ground was wet and soft. Were you a tad bit nervous? Did you have your fingers crossed? Hoping for a miracle of science or of God? Put your little airplane in the sky. The air's a place for men, they said, those acrobats of war. And after all, lucky Lindy did it all before. Go back to your mama, go home and be a wife. 'Cause we all know that girls ain't meant to fly. Amelia, open up that throttle, get above those trees. The iceberg's looming sharp and white. The big combustion engine and a fool's head full of dreams. You'll cut across the blue Atlantic sky. What's it like to sit alone in solitary dark? With your friend, the rumbling engine and a dome of northern stars. Did you laugh a little as you did what they said that you could not?
all while watched by 100 million eyes. At 9 a.m. on New York time, was luck the one you think? Or was it trust in progress as the night behind you sank? Hours up on Lindy's time, you caught the eastern glow. And the coast of Ireland came into sight. Amelia, open up that throttle, get above those trees. The iceberg's looming sharp and white. The big combustion engine in a fool's head full of dreams. You'll cut across the blue Atlantic sky. Hours and 56 minutes in the clouds. And the time you pushed off to the second you touched down. Thermosub had made a soup to warm against the chills. And a little faith can go a long, long way. Amelia, open up that throttle, get above those trees. The iceberg's looming sharp and white. The big combustion engine in a fool's head full of dreams. You'll cut across the blue Atlantic sky. The big combustion engine in a fool's head full of dreams. You'll cut across the blue Atlantic sky.
Song called Amelia by Ben Bedford, sung here live by Ben Bedford on Live and Local on FM 90.9. He's going to be with Tom Irwin singing separately, but maybe a song or two together, on Saturday night at 7:30 at the Independent Media Center in downtown Urbana. And you can get more information on their shows at ucimc.org, but either one I'm sure will get you there. I read a headline of an article online pretty recently that said somebody thought they might have found the bones of Amelia Earhart, but I didn't hear how that played out.
I haven't investigated that too thoroughly either, but somebody mentioned that recently, I think at a show that I did in Michigan. They said they'd found several things, and it seems like they mentioned something about crabs, large crabs on the island that... could probably just, they, you know, would scatter the wreckage of the plane, and could be one of the reasons why nothing's really been found from the plane. So I don't know. They're continuing mystery.
There's another song for you, The Bones of Amelia Earhart.
That's right. It would fit in thematically with most of my material. So.
Well, I want to just mention a few other events that are going on in our area, specifically Champaign-Urbana, what I have in front of me anyway. Let us know about other events going on in your area. You can write to me at willcalendar@illinois.edu. It's willcalendar@illinois.edu. Two things at the Clark Bar in Champaign. The U2 Duo are there tonight at 7 o'clock, and then Road Song performing there tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. And a couple of things at Memphis on Main in downtown Champaign. The Big Creek Guitar Band are there tomorrow night at 6. And then the Hillbilly Jones and the Whistle Pigs are there Saturday night at 6 o'clock. And that's what I've got. Again, let us know what's going on in your area. Tomorrow we're going to be having a few members of the East Central Illinois Youth Orchestra with us on the show. They're giving a concert next Monday. And then I'm actually blanking on my other guest. I did the interview earlier this week. Well, we'll let you know later on today and then early, and then as you listen periodically tomorrow. Ben, I think we probably have time for one more song before we wrap things up.
Okay, great.
Maybe just in case, I'd better do some of my requirements here. We do have support today from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays in the Bouvon Wine Bar. This Saturday's tasting is from 2 to 6 p.m. and features a selection of wines from around the world. More information is at thecorkscrew.com. And this is Illinois Public Media. WYNL FM and HD1 and HD2 Urbana with translators, W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville. We're a member supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. What you got for us?
This is a poem written by Banjo Patterson that I set to music, so, and it's called As Long as Your Eyes Are Blue. You love me when my hair is gray, my cheeks have lost their hue, when the glow of youth has passed away. Your love of old proved true, 'cause looks may change and the heart may range. With love no longer fun, but you love with truth in the years of youth, and away to the years beyond. I love you for your locks of brown, a glow of cheek that lies. But I love you most for your kindly heart, and I see in your blue eyes, the eyes are signs of the soul within, a heart that's leal and true. And my own sweetheart, I love you still, long as your eyes are blue. For the eyes are signs of the soul within, a heart that's leal and true. And my own sweetheart, I love you still, long as your eyes are blue, long as your eyes are blue.
Ben Bedford on Live and Local. Thanks very much for joining us on the show.
Thank you, Kevin. My pleasure.
And it's Saturday night at 7:30 at the Independent Media Center in Urbana, along with Tom Irwin is when he'll be playing a full show live. Hope you can join him there. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9.